American Psycho is one of the best films ever made, and its popularity continues to soar, even 2 decades after its release. Even Christopher Nolan said it's one of his favorite movies. All because it's a hilarious but deep mirror reflecting the absurdity of modernity. Now Lionsgate is looking to readapt the book, and people are watching how things are going to play out with bated breath. When people first heard that a new American Psycho was in the works, nobody was interested. The original director and Christian Bale had already done a brilliant job bringing Bateman to life, and many just felt it was a cheap disservice to all they had suffered to bring the character to the big screen. It's almost completely against the original movie's themes to make a cheap knockoff version of it. And the knockoff version that did come after the original American Psycho was god-awful. And many people at this point are just completely tired of remakes as a whole, as it seems like all studios ever seem to produce these days are remakes, from Gladiator 2 to new Star Wars movies to new live-action remakes. It's like Hollywood has run out of ideas. That's where they're just too scared to greenlight any new ideas because every new project is an utter failure. When there's hundreds of millions of dollars at play, you can understand why. But the worst part about most remakes is that they always lack the heart of the original films. Just looking at every Disney remake since 2017, all the way up to the upcoming Snow White movie, and you can see why people are hesitant about the new American Psycho movie. Especially after Lionsgate's disastrous 2024. As over the last year, the studio has had many failures. And this worries fans that with all of these failures, Lionsgate is going to play it safe. But a project like American Psycho is definitely not safe. If they remade American Psycho and made it a cheap knockoff, it'll bring more hatred towards this film than any other in history. In the new upcoming movie, they could just make a project a scene-for-scene remake. They could do something like Joker 2. Or worse, they could blindly adapt this to be a more sanitized version. Everyone knows that if they film the project focusing more on just appealing to the studio's executives, rather than a passion for the actual story and its meaning, it would be a colossal failure. But as of late 2024, it seems like this might not be the case. In fact, people's opinions of this remake are starting to actually change, as helming the project was none other than Luca Guadagnino. Now, Luca is an award-winning Italian director who is exactly what the upcoming project needed, as his films are known for being emotionally complex and fairly thought-provoking. Pair that with his love for lavish visuals and you have a perfect combination for a fresh spin on the American Psycho movie. Most of his work feels more focused on artistry than anything else, something that's absolutely needed for this remake. And in a world of fast-paced, hollowed-out cheap, massive budget movies, this could be exactly what audiences need, and hopefully bring a new golden age to movies like the late 90s and early 2000s. This is why people are genuinely curious now to see what he'll do with the adaptation. Especially as he seems to take far too much pride in his work for this to be a cash grab. And it's hard to believe that he'd compromise on his artistic vision just for profit. And what settled people's opinions of this was his assurance that the American Psycho movie wouldn't be a remake of the original 2000 film. Instead, it would be another adaptation of the book. And while he does have a good history with remakes, stylistically it's better that this version of American Psycho is an adaptation, as many of his projects have been booked to film adaptations. So at least he knows what he's doing here. And then joining him will be Scott Burns. While Burns has an uncredited role behind projects like Star Wars' Rogue One and James Bond's No Time to Die, his credited projects are just as impressive. He was one of 3 writers responsible for the Bourne Ultimatum, and has sole writing credits on films like The Laundromat and The Report, which he also directed, which makes it clear that both of these guys have the background and skill to create something very interesting. However, as talented as the director and the writer needs to be, people's main concern is who's going to actually play Patrick Bateman. Think about a time when a company you trusted announced a data breach involving your personal information. What went through your mind as you processed the news? What actions did you take to respond? Take the National Public Data Breach, for example. The incident exposed over 2.9 billion records, including names, addresses, dates of birth, phone numbers, and social security numbers. That's so terrifying, and that's why today's video sponsor is Aura. Aura is an all-in-one solution to help protect you and your family from identity theft, fraud, and other digital threats. It monitors your personal information across billions of data points, and alerts you if your social security number, bank accounts, or credit cards have been compromised. They also have financial fraud protection, alerting you in just minutes if someone tries to open a credit card or loan in your name. You can even lock your credit file with just a tap, and to make sure your online activity is secure, Aura includes a VPN with military-grade encryption and antivirus software to protect your devices. Every adult in your account is covered by $1 million in identity theft insurance to help with eligible losses and fees, with up to $5 million total. And if anything happens, their 24/7 US-based fraud specialists are there to help. And you'll get this all in one app at one affordable price. I'm not going to leave myself and my family vulnerable to data breaches and brokers. And if you don't want to either, you can go to aura.com/moon to try 2 weeks for free. That would be enough time for Aura to find out if any of your personal data is exposed. Christian Bale's performance as Patrick Bateman is part of why he's such a big star today. He would do everything he could to get the role, so much so that he was paid barely anything to be Patrick Bateman.
And then we got the money, yay! But what our agents forgot to do, our agents at the time, forgot to do was to include us in the package. And so we raised the money and then they said, right, and the two of you, bye-bye. But I went a little bit psycho myself in that I just said, no, I'm still making the film.
Yeah, he was so obsessed with the character and how funny he really is. And because of his commitment to this role, it's what made the movie so great in the first place. And it's why today he's even seen as an icon for many people around the world. Christian Bale's ability to morph into the character so completely became legendary, nailing the performance in a way that most people would never expect. In fact, he was so believable that his co-stars didn't even realize that he wasn't American until after filming. People know that whoever takes on this iconic role will have to outdo or at least match Bale if the project is to succeed, which is an incredibly high bar to achieve. And Lionsgate seems to think that Austin Butler is up to the challenge. Now, Butler is a great actor. While he's been in the game for a few years, it's taken a while for him to feature in projects that truly show off his talents. However, opportunities arose when he was given the chance to feature in Dune. And while he did great in that role, people questioned if he'd actually be able to portray Patrick Bateman successfully. Would he dedicate himself to the character the same way that Bale did? Well, when you look at the Elvis movie, this might actually be a possibility. In 2019, Butler was granted the opportunity to become Elvis. And for 3 years, he thought of nothing but Elvis, and it massively paid off, as not only was the film a success, but he won several awards for his performance. According to the actor, he delved so deeply into trying to become Elvis that he actually forgot what he sounded like, having to hire a voice coach to relearn his own accent.
I mean, I had a dialect coach just to help me not sound like Elvis.
Oh, wow.
Film.
Wow.
That was the whole thing.
Evidently, it's clear that both Bale and Butler are incredibly dedicated to their craft, doing everything through method acting to become their character. But it might be almost impossible to top Bale's performance, especially as his role as Patrick Bateman is so synonymous with the movie and story itself. So while the team around this film seems to be great, there's still far much more at play for this movie to succeed. As American Psycho isn't just great because of the directing and acting, it's because of what it says about our own society and how Patrick Bateman connects so strongly with young men today. You see, the original 2000 edition of American Psycho was never really a commercial success to begin with. Now it's considered a highly successful movie, but back then, it was just some weird niche movie that people didn't really understand. On the surface, it seemed to be nothing more than just a spoiled investment banker going on a murderous rampage, where he faces no consequences for anything he does. But this is a horrible way of looking at the movie, and really takes away from the nuance and comedic elements of the story. There's a reason that so many young men today, especially those belonging to Gen Z, have turned Patrick Bateman into something of an icon. You'll see him on TikTok clips, Instagram reels, memes, posters. He's beloved even after 24 years. And it's not because people are idolizing the murderous aspects of him. It's everything else around it and Patrick Bateman's place in society, repressing his hatred of the life he lives and the people he has to surround himself with, all while doing everything he can to look perfect and just fit in. All the discipline, all the hours of self-improvement, all of this just to become the ideal man with a plastic mask and live a hollowed out life in a giant megacity. And a lot of young people today feel like they live that life on a much smaller level. It's just an exaggerated version of what current society is like for most young men. Even Christian Bale noted in an interview that when he went to Wall Street, people identified with the character, not even in a sarcastic way, but purely just because of the way he lives.
When there still was the Wall Street trading floors and everything, I went and visited, you know, all different levels of people at Wall Street. But the guys on the trading floor, when I arrived there before making the film, I got there and a bunch of them, they were going, oh, Patrick Bateman, and patting me on the back and going, oh, yeah, we love him. And I was like, yeah, ironically, right? And they were like, what do you mean?
His ability to knuckle down and dedicate hours of his day physically improving himself, the thoughts he has about the people around him, the superficial materialistic outlook on the world, and how it's crushing his soul every day. While obviously Bateman isn't the character you want to look up to, he's almost a sympathetic person. If you see the murders he commits as just being within his head, more manifestations of his hatred towards the world he lives in, suddenly Patrick Bateman becomes a lot more understandable. And as a result, many young men see themselves reflected in him. Their insecurities and anxieties, all the fake gestures they have to do around the people they work with, often leads to a mask hiding their repression. Which is why millions of people feel comforted by the idea that they're not the only ones dealing with these feelings. If a seemingly well put together man like Patrick Bateman can completely fall apart at the sight of a business card, they too are validated for their thoughts. Now of course the character is undeniably crazy, but that's where the comedy in this film is. And as we already mentioned earlier, Christian Bale's performance was really what made the film so great. Throughout the film it feels like Bale is constantly trading between masks. Quite literally, Christian Bale is putting on an accent and an affront, and yet the only mask he really wears is to make his skin look that much more plastic. And while his face expresses one emotion, his eyes show something completely different. In some scenes, like at the laundrette, he'll show a big, fake, plastic smile, and then immediately within seconds turn to a death stare, making him just appear like a human wearing someone's skin as it tries to learn the intricacies of human culture. Or as he says, he just wants to fit in. And at times, he somehow manages to make his eyes look completely emotionless, dead eyes, that are empty of everything besides repressed rage, all while during the day doing nothing. His whole routine is about looking perfect, but his actual work is just watching TV and mindlessly procrastinating, all while being paid a fortune and living a completely out of touch life that he's so desensitized to. And the scenes with Kimball are even better, as Bale doesn't even seem to try to make Patrick look normal. He starts with his phone call to no one to try and make himself look busier than he appears, something that he does every single day. He then talks about absolutely nothing, as does everyone else he works with. And then once he puts the phone down, he quickly divulges into a combination of awkward and nervous jumpiness, just saying any random buzzword that comes to mind. And then this is enhanced by William Dafoe at the same time, as this scene we see in the movies is actually a combination of three run-throughs by the actor. One where his character knew about Bamer's nightly activities, one where he's suspicious of his involvement in Paul Allen's disappearances, and one where he didn't suspect a thing. How it's done makes you question which parts of the interrogation happened and which ones were in Bateman's mind, a constant theme throughout the movie, adding to the depth and rewatchability of the story, as you never know what's really real and what's just a manifestation of his mind and repression, forcing you to watch multiple times as you try to come up with your own interpretation of events. But the book gives us a little more insight into what's actually going on with him. As the story progresses and he descends further and further into insanity, he just starts to hallucinate. And interestingly, one of the first time Bateman is terrified in the book is when a bench starts chasing him. While in the movie, it seems to show Patrick Bateman having an overactive imagination, his repression manifesting itself within his mind, whereas book Bateman seems to have a much more deeper mental issue, which is where I think the new remake will really change the game, as it'll be interesting to see how Luca explores Bateman's deteriorating mental state and what he might do with it. Rather than just being a figment of his imagination, in this movie, it might just be real that he's actually crazy. And it will also be interesting to see how he shows off Bateman's moments of humanity. Given the nature of a character like Bateman, such moments are few and far between. In fact, if you combine the events of the book and the movie, there's only two instances. However, they exist for a reason. In the film, they show the most prominent display of his humanity. Near the end of the movie, Bateman invites his secretary Jean over to his home, fully intending to take her life. But just as he's about to do it, he stops because of a call from Evelyn, and he realizes that she's the only person genuine in this world of fakeness. She's the only person who's actually real with an actual heart, who isn't completely warped by the world they live in. Unlike everyone else in this movie, Jean actually seems genuine, as she actually wants to do something with her life. She has a real personality. She isn't completely warped by the materialistic nature of 80s yuppie Wall Street, which gives us a bit of insight into the true intentions with Patrick Bateman. It seems like he just wants to be seen, to actually be his real self, to have this fake personality destroyed and those around him, and possibly punish the world for making him who he is. And yet Jean is one of the few people who actually sees him, personality inside of him, the real him, and because of that, he can't even muster any hatred towards her. Now, brutal killings litter the pages of the book, far more than the movie ever goes into, but one of the key moments in the book that's not in the movie is when he kills a child at the zoo, as the moment proves too dark for even Patrick, as he decides he won't subject any more children to that kind of violence because they're innocent. And while not in the movie, he does at one point say that he wishes adults were as pure as children. It's a small moment that indicates he does have some morals behind those eyes, and it's really the world around him that's actually crazy. And there's many more darker moments in the book like this that were omitted from the original movie. So if Luca plans to bring more of that darkness into his film, it'll be a completely different film to watch. And yet one of the key elements he has to strike with this is, while showing gruesome murders and manic ramblings, is keeping the element of comedy that makes the whole film so enjoyable to watch. As American Psycho at its heart is really just a comedy movie, even Christian Bale said this. The original director massively relied on the absurdist humour and satire of the story, with the whole story just being a piss take of the materialistic nature of yuppies New York. And you see this all throughout the movie, from the business card scenes, the absurd manicure skincare treatments, the conversations people have where they don't even listen to each other, and all the branded, highly expensive things that are just part and parcel of life here. Everything in the story is so ridiculous that you can't help but laugh at it, with some themes like his virtue signaling rants being more relevant than ever today. All of these are key to the story, and have to be included for the film to be a success, as this is far from a horror movie. It's a hilarious satire of America, all of this just being a vessel for the original author Bret Easton Ellis to tell his inner thoughts during the time of writing it, and how a corrupt society with no room for morality and only superficial materialism warps the population within it. That's everything that Patrick Bateman is meant to be, a warning for the dangers of decadence and the deterioration of morality. becoming simply a product of just the world he lives in. This focus on materialism, virtue signaling, hyper-consumerism, and relentless perfection in everything is more relevant than it's ever been. Perhaps even more relevant than when American Psycho was first published, as the world that's being critiqued has only been amplified tenfold today. Instead of business cards, we tie it to our social media presence, our followers and likes. And just like American Psycho, there's never been more repression as there is today. But if they can get all of these elements right, then the new adaptation could be an incredible movie to break the staleness of Hollywood as it is today.